Sometimes life can seem like a desert. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell shows us how God's Holy Spirit can bring streams of refreshing to our desert experience.
If we're going to have revival in America, it's going to come back to family units, teaching God's Word and instructing children in the ways of the Lord. And it's going to come back to men leading their families and single moms leading their families and single dads leading their families. The problem today is a family problem, and it must be dealt with by godly leadership.
Are you facing a difficult situation, as though you are in the middle of a dry, parched desert? In our series, Streams of Refreshing, we will explore the desert experiences of great Bible characters. Each message will remind you that God is mightily at work, even during times of dryness and difficulty. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. In every desert experience, God sends streams of refreshment to restore your soul and renew your strength for the journey ahead. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of a message called Joshua, a Spiritual Man.
What does it mean to daily be filled and directed by the Holy Spirit of God? One of the men in the Bible that displayed spiritual leadership in a wonderful way is this man, Joshua. He is a man, the Bible says, in whom the Spirit dwelt. In fact, notice in your notes there this morning what the Bible says in Numbers chapter 27 and verse 18. It says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thy hand on him. And set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight." When God began to look for men who would provide leadership and direction in the midst of his people, he looked for a man in whom dwelt the Holy Spirit of God. Now, we know that no one possesses the Holy Spirit of God until they are born again by the Holy Spirit. If there has been a day in your life when you realized that you were a sinner, lost and without hope, and you called upon Jesus Christ to be your Savior, the Bible says that when you accept Christ as your Savior, you are born again by the Spirit. In other words, a church cannot give you the new birth. A denomination cannot give you this new birth. Only God's Spirit can bring that to pass. And if you are a Christian today, if you have been born again the Bible way, then God's Spirit is dwelling in your life. But the question this morning is, are you being led and controlled by the Holy Spirit of God? I'd like to ask all of the men this morning this question, and I would ask you before I ask the question that you would not answer it until we're done with the message today. I want you to think about it while we go through the scriptures this morning. But here's the question. Are you a spiritual man? Are you a spiritual man? You know, people think in the terms of spirituality, and they might say, well, yes, I'm Christian Science, or I'm New Age, or no. You can be spiritual and lost and on your way to hell. So when we say spiritual, we're not talking about any spirit, because some spirits are even satanic. But when we say spiritual, we're saying, are you being led of the Holy Spirit of God? Have you been born again by faith in Jesus Christ? And are you walking today in the presence and power of the Holy Spirit? You see, you may not be a success in the world's eyes. You may not have all of the things that some think you should possess. But if you are walking in the Spirit, then in God's eyes, your life is a success before Him. Sometimes as dads, we may feel like we have failed or like we're not measuring up. One little boy was asked recently, what's the difference between Mother's Day and Father's Day? And he said, well, it's something like this. He said, Father's Day is just like Mother's Day, only you don't spend as much on the present. Now, fellas, that may be the case for you today. I'm not sure how it's going to go, but whatever the case, I want you to know that God has a significant role and a plan for your life. And as Joshua comes to the end of his life, he stands before the congregation of the children of Israel, and he begins to challenge them to be spiritually minded people. In fact, in Joshua 24, what we are reading here, we are reading the last words of Joshua to the nation. He calls all the heads of the families, all the heads of the tribes together, and he gives them a charge, and he's challenging them to finish strong. I like to read 2 Timothy because those are the last words of the Apostle Paul to a young preacher, and he challenges him to preach the word and to be faithful to the cause of Christ. I like to hear of how men give a last challenge. And here is the challenge from Joshua. He is challenging them to be a spiritual people. Now, this morning, I want to give you three characteristics of the spiritual man. What does it mean to be a spiritual man? And we see them right here in Joshua 24, beginning in verse number 14. The Bible says, "Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth." I believe that Joshua was a man who feared the Lord. Joshua feared the Lord. And I believe if you and I will be a spiritual people, we are going to have to possess within our hearts a proper fear of God. I believe the reason that many men never come to an altar, the reason that many men will not say no to temptation, the reason that that they find themselves becoming desensitized and things that used to bother them, even to think about those things, now they do them without pause. I believe the reason for that is they have lost the wonder and the awe and the reverence of a holy God. But a spiritual man practices the presence of the Lord. When the Bible says fear the Lord, it means to reverence the Lord. It means to practice the presence of the Lord. I'd like you to say those three words with me this morning. Practice the presence. Would you say that, please? Practice. One more time. Joshua was a man who practiced the presence of the Lord. He was always aware that the Lord was with him. The Lord was watching him. He always wanted to reverence and honor the Lord in every word that he said, in every joke that he heard, in every activity of his life. He feared and reverenced God. We live in a no-fear society, and people say, "I have no fear." But I want to tell you something. We ought to reverence and, in the right way, fear the Lord. Now, this doesn't mean that God is an angry God and he can't wait to hit you on the head and you need to be afraid of God. That's not what this word means. It does mean, however, that God is not your good buddy that you've made a deal with. He's not the guy upstairs. He is the holy creator of the universe. He is righteous. He is God who is worthy of our reverence. And Joshua feared the Lord. I believe that a man ought to live his life in such a way that everybody knows that he is a child of God, and especially in such a way that his family knows that he or she is a man of God. You see, the man who walks in the fear of the Lord will have a very tender conscience. When the Holy Spirit convicts him of sin, he will hear the Lord. He will very reverently respect the working of God within his heart. Now, I want you to see two ways that Joshua's fear was revealed. Two ways that his respect for God was revealed. First of all, his fear was revealed in faith. I believe that Joshua feared God because he was a man who had great faith in God. Notice in your Bibles or in the notes this morning, Numbers chapter 14 and verse number 6. The Bible says, "And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us, their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not." Now, many of you might remember this story from being children in Sunday school. Moses sent 12 spies into the promised land. They were to go into the land and see where they might be able to penetrate, how they might be able to possess the land. But when the spies came back to Moses, 10 of the spies said to Moses, "There ain't no way we can go into that land. Why? The giants are huge and they've got big swords and spears and they'll destroy us if we go into the land." But there was a man by the name of Joshua who feared God more than anything else, who reverenced God more than anyone else. And Joshua said in verse 8, if the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it to us. You see, my friend, if you have a big God, you have small problems. But if you have a small God, then you've got big problems. And Joshua had God in his right perspective. Joshua was a man who reverenced God and who feared God. And because of that, he would move forward in faith to trust and to serve his God. Now, may I say to you this morning that God is looking for people who will awe Him, who will reverence Him, and who will have faith in Him. Our family came to Lancaster, and we met about 20 folks and began serving God. Our church was in foreclosure, the property that we had. Just a few people and no big program to speak of. But we believed that God's Word could touch and change lives. And rather than focusing on the obstacles, we chose to focus on God and to reverence God. And he has been glorified in these years of ministry. You see, Joshua's fear was revealed in the fact that he had faith in God. His reverence for God caused him to have faith in God. Notice, secondly, his fear was revealed in submission. You see, someone who has reverence for God will gladly obey God. Now, the word submission is a loathed word in today's society. No one wants to be in submission. Everyone wants to have it all and have it their way, sort of like at Burger King. But did you know a spiritual man is a man who says, Lord, where do I fit here? In the family, in the church, with respect to government, how do you want me to relate? And Joshua was a man who learned that though he was in authority, yet at the same time he was under authority. I believe today that God has called on the husband to be the leader of the home. But I believe a godly husband is a husband who recognizes that he himself is under the authority of God, and that he must be in submission to the God who saved him and who is truly the head of that home. Now, let me give you an example of Joshua's submission. Joshua chapter 5 and verse 13 tells us that Joshua was going into Jericho, and he was spying around the city of Jericho before the battle. If you will, he was doing some military strategizing before the battle of Jericho. The Bible says in Joshua 5:13, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as the captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose the shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Now try to get the picture in your mind. Joshua is about ready to go to battle at Jericho. But the night before the battle, he goes to the city wall and he's walking around the wall strategizing. All of a sudden, he comes upon a man who is called the captain of the Lord of the hosts. And we see that this man tells Joshua, take off the shoes from your feet, for the place whereupon thou standest is holy ground. This is called by certain theologians an Old Testament theophany of Christ, or an Old Testament appearance of Jesus Christ. And what we learn in this passage is that Jesus Christ, the pre-incarnate Christ, is giving now a revelation of himself to Joshua so that Joshua will know that while he is leading the battle, he will not be the one in charge of the battle. He will be the servant leader. Jesus Christ is the one he serves as he leads the people on to victory. And I'm saying to you this morning that if you want to be a spiritual man, then you will be a man who fears God to the point that you recognize, as Joshua did, you must be in submission to Jesus as you live your everyday life. James 4:7 says it this way, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I believe Joshua was a spiritual man because he reverenced and he awed the Lord from his heart. He wanted to do the will of God from his heart. Notice, though, not only did he fear the Lord, but secondly, Joshua served the Lord. Come back to our text, Joshua 24:14. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Now, the word fear reflects the attitude of the heart, but service is the outward action of that attitude. Sometimes people will not serve God because they do not reverence God from their heart. But when we reverence God, then the outflow of that is to serve the Lord. To serve the Lord is to obey Him and to obey His commandments. I think an illustration of this is found in your notes there this morning in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. And these are the words of Jesus. And they say, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Now let's read those words, shall we? They're in your notes there. Luke 6, 46. Ready, begin. "And why call ye me and do not the things?" One more time. Ready, begin. "And why call ye me?" Now, how many of you will agree with me that coming from the Lord, that's a fair question. If Jesus is your Lord, then Jesus says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" Joshua says, if we truly fear the Lord, then we will serve the Lord. And from our heart will come the outflow of our actions. And I'm telling you today that America is going to hell in a handbasket because of Christians with bumper stickers who never will witness for Christ, who never will live for Christ, who rarely attend God's house, who rarely read the Word of God, and they call Him Lord, but they do not the things that He says. A spiritual man serves the Lord. Now then, Joshua was a spiritual man who served the Lord. And because of that, he not only heard the Word of God, but he did what the Word of God said. The Bible says we're not to be simply hearers of the Word, but we're to be what? Doers of the Word of God. Read on there, Luke 6, 47. "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock." Now, God says, if you'll be the kind of a man who doesn't just hear it, but who obeys it, then you will have a family that is founded on the rock of the Word of God. And when the storms come, your family will stand firm and true because you heard and obeyed the Word of God. Now, we've had a few building programs here, and one thing that I've learned in all these building programs, and I've learned some lessons the hard way, but one of the first things I learned is that this property out here, the soil is what they call sandy loam soil. Sandy loam is basically kind of a shifty kind of a soil, and it's of such a nature you just can't build a building right on it, especially a large building like this, or the building will shift and sway. And so what we have to do when we build these buildings is we have to bring tractors in and dig out the ground, I think sometimes 12 or 14 feet down, get all the dirt out. Then we put the dirt back in a little bit at a time as we compact it back and forth and back and forth to get a hard, hard surface. In fact, some of our projects have cost us $100,000 or more just to get the dirt hard enough to build on. Then we have to come in and dig and trench out for the foundation. Then we dig as we dig the foundation, we pour in the concrete, and then we set the eye bolts in that concrete. Why? So that when the superstructure is placed on the foundation and when the winds and the storms come, that this building will stand solid and sure. You say, that's a lot of trouble. That's a lot of money. And you say, it's not always easy to hear and obey the Word of God. No, but when the storm comes, you will be glad that you took the time to hear and to read and obey God's precious Word. The foundation of your family must be a foundation of serving the Lord by obeying His Word. Now let me give you two ways that Joshua served the Lord very quickly. First of all, I want you to know that Joshua served the Lord through his worship. His worship. In fact, he says in verse 14, "Serve the Lord in sincerity and truth and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood." Now here we see a little bit about worship. You know, today, many Christians, when you say something like praise and worship, the first thing they think about is some gal in a miniskirt hitting a tambourine while some other guy hits the drums and they all have a praise and worship band. Well, let me tell you something. There's a lot more to worship than just music. Music is a part of worship and a wonderful part of worship. But did you know that when we open the Bible and when you hear and receive the Bible, that through this very involvement in the scriptures and preaching and teaching right now, did you know we're worshiping God right now? Did you know that when we gave the offering a little while ago, we were ascribing worth to God? We were worshiping God. Did you know that when you serve God in various ways, you're worshiping Him? And God shows us that Joshua served God through his worship. And notice about this worship two things. First, it was a separated worship. It was a separated worship. God says in verse 14, put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood. Now, we live in an ecumenical day. We live in a day when people want to say, well, you know, whatever you want to believe, it's okay. We're all going to get to heaven some way. Broad is the way, they say, and so it doesn't really matter. And yet, the fact of the matter is, if you've ever even read the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, one of the first things you'll learn about God is that God says this, I, the Lord your God, am a, what kind of God? Jealous God. God doesn't want some of your attention. God doesn't want a part of your heart. God is a jealous God, and He wants us to worship Him with all of our hearts. And so He says, if you're going to worship me, don't do like your fathers did in Egypt when they got those little gods, the sun god, the moon god, and the various other deities of false origin. And don't worship those gods. And He says in verse 14, I want you to put away the gods of your fathers. In other words, I want you to have a separated worship. I want the attention to be totally on me. Not only a separated worship, but it was to be a dedicated worship, focusing completely on God. Now, let me give you a New Testament context for that. Would you turn quickly to Romans chapter 12 and verse 1? Romans 12 and verse 1. Here you'll see a New Testament context of what is worship and how we can serve the Lord as we worship. If you've never studied this verse, I encourage you to mark it, underline it, come back and look at Romans 12, 1 and 2. Paul the Apostle is writing. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your, what are the last two words? Reasonable service. Now, a moment ago, we said if you accept Christ as Savior, you're born again by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes into your life. The Bible says, what, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? And so here we see that God says that it is our reasonable service, since this body, since this life is not my own now, I've been purchased with a price, it's only reasonable that I would present my body as a living sacrifice to God, and that I would say, Lord, I love you, and as a part of my worship, I dedicate my life to you. Lord, these hands are for your glory. Lord, these lips are for your glory. These eyes are for your glory. Help me to do what I do, Lord, for your glory. We're going to challenge the teenagers to forsake worldly things and to forget about branding and tattooing and to think more about God's word and praising God and serving God. You see, God wants us to give Him His worthy attention. So through worship, Joshua served God. Notice, secondly, through his work, he served God. Through his work, he served God. Now, someone says, honk if you love Jesus. I saw that bumper sticker. Have you ever seen that one? Honk if you love Jesus. I've thought about a bumper sticker that says, tithe if you love Jesus. Change diapers in the nursery if you love Jesus. Any idiot can honk, right? But it takes a spiritual man to say, Lord, I reverence you and I reverence your word. And Lord, if in your word you teach me and show me that I might serve you and work in some way for you, then Lord, I want to do what you want me to do. How did Joshua work for the Lord? Two quick ways. First, he assisted Moses. He was a faithful assistant to Moses. Exodus 24 and verse 13 says, and Moses rose up and his minister, Joshua, and Moses went up into the Mount of God. While Moses was up at the top of Mount Sinai communing with God 40 days and 40 nights, Joshua was at the base of the mountain waiting on God and waiting on God's man. He was willing to be called the servant of God. Moses, the minister of Moses, and he was willing to work and to help and to serve. And by the way, it's not a kiss-up thing to say, I want to serve God through my church. I want to help our pastor as he finds God's vision and direction for our church. I want to help in supporting missionaries, in reaching young people, in sending the kids to camp. It's not a second-class thing to be a servant in the work of the Lord. And Joshua served the Lord through his work. And then secondly, through battling the enemy. Through battling the enemy.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. As a companion to today's series, we are offering Dr. Chappell's newest book entitled Renew, 90 Days of Spiritual Refreshment. This beautiful, hardback 90-day devotional guide will encourage you to seek God's face and renew your heart in His Word. It's yours when you make a donation to this broadcast ministry. You can order it by calling 1-800-201-7748. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, connect with us, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.